Attention, please. Calling Dr. Ranjana Srivastava. Please report to the Life Matters Clinic as soon as possible. Dr. Srivastava, your patients are waiting.
We are waiting. Yes, a doctor is in the house. Dr. Ranjana Srivastava is a general physician and medical oncologist. She joins us each month here on Life Matters to tackle some of those gnarly health issues that define our times. And today we're taking a squiz inside your pillbox and looking at questions you should be asking your doctor about perhaps the prescription drugs that you are taking. Are you aware of the risks? Figures released by the Victorian coroner have revealed that deaths involving prescription drug overdoses are twice as common as those involving illicit drugs. How's that? Striking. And clearly that picture is complex. Often a cocktail of drugs is involved in an overdose death. But there is a cautionary tale here. And to explain it further to us, Ranjana joins us. Welcome back to the show.
Good morning. How are you?
Very well indeed, Ranjana. Great to have you with us again. The evidence from the Victorian coroner suggests the misuse or abuse of prescription drugs is on the rise. People are familiar with that, but what, paint that picture a little clearly for us. What is happening?
It's an interesting report, isn't it? I mean, we talk so much about the scourge of illicit drugs in society, and I can tell you that working in a large hospital system, what worries me a lot is the misuse, overdose, or intentional or unintentional of regular prescription medicines. So, for example, two drugs that your listeners will be familiar with include opioids and the benzodiazepines class, which are sort of the sleeping tablets, anti-anxiety, the Valium, Alprazolam, etc. And although, you know, let's just take opioids, so things like Endone, morphine, fentanyl, and there was a recent article in Australian Prescriber, a magazine, that suggested that the prescription of these drugs has gone up something between 20 to 40-fold in the last several years, which is pretty striking.
It is. Although, I mean, obviously those drugs, particularly the opioids, Ranjana, are so vital for helping people manage pain.
Well, that's right. And the evidence suggests that although these drugs are good for acute pain and also for cancer-related pain, and I certainly use a lot of them in my practice, both the evidence as well as the safety of these drugs in the chronic setting and in non-malignant conditions is actually quite limited. But you will see lots and lots of people on opioids for years, for decades even. And this is how I think both intentional and unintentional misuse begins to happen.
And that distinction is vital too, isn't it? Because obviously some people are overdosing unintentionally. Others are accessing opioids as an alternative to heroin, for example.
Yeah, and you know, people can feel very stigmatized, and you know, patients will tell me that they are dependent on these opioids because they can't function without them, and I am sympathetic to that. And so I think it's important to distinguish between people who really need these drugs as opposed to people who have unintentionally many times become dependent on them because the issue of an alternative drug has never been raised with them, or the issue of whether they need any drug at all. And so one of the really important conversations I think every patient should be having with their doctor is, do I need to be on this drug? Whatever that is, whether it's painkillers, whether it's Valium or blood pressure tablets or cholesterol pills. Just, you know, as you said, to look inside the pill box and say, do I need this?
Yes. So there's what you're calling for here is very much self-advocacy. And I mean, certainly as we age, that becomes vital too, because people can be on all sorts of medications for a long time. And is there enough review going on?
Well, I think there is review, but it could certainly be better. And one of the things that I keep telling my residents every morning on a ward round is we should be looking at every drug chart every day and saying, does this patient still need this drug? outside of hospital, I think the same thing needs to happen in the community. And one of the frustrations that many people will describe to you is that once upon a time, they were placed on a drug, perhaps in hospital. No one ever really reviewed its need. Everyone felt that, well, if they're on it, then they must need it. And, you know, 5-10 years later, you sort of look at it and you say, why are you on this drug? And I think we as patients can take a greater role then in saying, hang on, I'm going to question whether I need this drug or not.
That's difficult, isn't it? Because as patients, people lose confidence in a way, and that the drug becomes a source of confidence. It makes them feel safe. And that's part of it too. There's anxiety around dropping off medications that they might have been on for a long time, or even initiating this conversation.
You make a very good point, and in fact, just this week, I saw a lady who had been placed on some Valium because she was diagnosed with cancer several years ago, and, you know, she went through a really difficult period at diagnosis. So she asked me for another script, and I said, well, why are you still on Valium? And she said, well, no one has ever taken me off, and I felt really vulnerable at the time of my diagnosis, and I'm not sure that I should come off it. And so we had a conversation about the fact that she was now well, she admitted that she was coping well, she had put the diagnosis behind her. But, you know, I mean, I reflected on the fact that it would be so much easier to write another script, but, you know, having a good conversation with her took time, but it was so therapeutic. And in the end, she actually decided to have another chat with her GP and try to come off these drugs, which I think is great for her long-term benefit.
But in fact, what had been happening is that script had been constantly being reissued over all those years after her diagnosis.
Yeah, and I think, you know, partly that is because the healthcare system is also fractured, so you often receive care from different doctors. People are very reluctant to take you off drugs, just thinking, you know, whether there may be a setback associated with this. Sometimes an individual doctor feels that they don't know the patient as well as somebody else might, and these are all the reasons why people continue on drugs that they could well come off.
I'm interested in the thought processes that you go through. What evidence do you as a doctor and an oncologist evaluate in having this conversation with someone about whether they need to stay on a medication they've been on for a very long time?
I think it's a dialogue. You know, obviously I am extremely wary of both opioids and the benzodiazepine-like drugs, but also other drugs. I mean, a good example would be something like a combination of paracetamol and codeine or ibuprofen and codeine. You know, just last week we saw a lady who had a large ulcer and was bleeding, came in bleeding because she had been taking large amounts of ibuprofen and codeine for arthritis. And ibuprofen is well known to cause bleeding and ulcers. So I guess as a doctor, you have to always be vigilant about the unintended side effects of drugs, and then question as to whether you should be prescribing that drug again. And that's a difficult conversation to have with patients when you feel that they're running the risk of dependence, or you feel that they may not need a drug in certain quantities. And, you know, doctors are not necessarily well trained to have these conversations about the risk of dependence or, you know, saying to a patient, well, I'm not going to prescribe this drug for you. It's a tough conversation, but I think it needs to be had.
It is a tough conversation. So at the other end, the more insidious end of dependence is addiction. And that's where, I guess, these overdose deaths that are reflected in the Victorian Coroner's report recently, you know, they're an illustration of that outcome of addiction, a really tragic outcome, and that is overdose and death. What sorts of signs should we be looking at in ourselves in terms of the risk of dependence on a medication?
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when I see patients who have clearly been assessed as being drug dependent, they often do not have that insight. And it's actually the uncommon patient who has an insight and who then seeks help. At least that's my observation. So I think that accepting that once you have become dependent on a drug, you may not be the best person to have that insight. and as a result, as family and close family and friends being vigilant about something like this. But going back and stepping well back, and that's why being vigilant about the drugs that you are placed on in the first place.
Yes, and I mean, even as family members, you know, people can make an observation about a loved one who might be dependent on a drug. But again, that's a difficult conversation to have because people will be using that drug initially for a legitimate reason, potentially, for pain management. And so to suggest that they need to come off it can be quite offensive.
Absolutely. And I think here one needs professional help. Mm. And fortunately, you know, we have many more drug and alcohol counseling services than used to exist several years ago. Say when I was an intern, I wouldn't know where to send these patients. But now hospitals and community centers are equipped with places and experts like this. And I think that this would be an opportunity to refer a patient to a service like that and to get them expert advice and help in weaning off a drug. It's not an easy process. It has ups and downs, but it doesn't mean we shouldn't try.
And a whole other aspect of this conversation is, of course, the debate over real-time prescription monitoring to keep an eye on people who might be developing a dependence on particularly the opioids. Look, really terrific to talk this through and to hear your advocacy for, a pharmaceutical audit that we should conduct on ourselves. Thank you so much, Ranjana.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Dr. Ranjana Srivastava, she's a medical oncologist, she's a general physician, she's a medical writer. You might have read some of her work in The Guardian and other outlets as well. She joins us every month to talk through gnarly health issues. And, you might have some suggestions about what you'd like to hear her consider on the program here on Life Matters.